Hey, Rip City, this is Anthony Simons, and it's time to open the briefcase with Casey Hodo.
Greetings, Blizzard fans, and welcome to The Briefcase, episode 86 of The Briefcase. I'm your host, Casey Holdall, and the Blazers are wrapping up a two-game series versus the Clippers on Friday night, then hosting the Nuggets on the second night of a back-to-back Saturday night. And as the season winds down, we're starting to see the rookies play more minutes, as you've seen in the games versus the Clippers, and as you are likely to see in the game versus the Nuggets, and on this seven-game, two-week road trip the team is about ready to embark upon. Scoot Henderson, Chris Murray, and Tumani Kamara are all back in the starting lineup. I think it's very possible Duop Reath ends up back in the starting lineup if the team decides to give DeAndre Ayton some rest, which I think is probably very likely to happen some point in time in the last 3 weeks of the season. And Rayon Rupert, while he might not get into the starting lineup necessarily, though maybe he does once or twice, seems likely to be entering the rotation with both Jeremy Grant and Matisse Thybulle sidelined due to injuries. So that's three rookies starting, likely for the rest of the season, one rookie, albeit 27 years old, who I think is very likely to start at least a couple more games before the end of the season, and then Rayon Rupert, who, I don't know, maybe at some point in time you start Scoot Henderson, Chris Murray, Rayon Rupert, Tumani Kamara, and Duop Reath for an all-rookie starting five. I could absolutely see that happening at some point in time before the end of the season, and maybe even as soon as this road trip. We'll do a quick recap of Portland's recent games, look at the draft lottery odds and where the Trailblazers might end up by the end of the season, and hear from one of those rookies, Tumani Kamara, on this edition of The Briefcase. As I mentioned, the Blazers wrap up a two-game series versus the Clippers on Friday night after losing the first game Wednesday night 116-103 for their 50th loss of the season, and their 8th loss in their last 10 games. Not a whole lot to feel all that good about in that game. 18 points for Scoot Henderson, though a lot of those points came late in the fourth quarter when the game was already well out of reach, to go with 5 assists, 2 rebounds, and 2 steals in 35 minutes. 14 points, 4 rebounds in 28 minutes for Anthony Simons. 17 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal for Chris Murray. Actually, a pretty nice game for Chris Murray. 7-11 from the field, 3-6 from 3. All 3 of those 3-pointers, corner 3-pointers. If Chris Murray able to dial in that corner 3-point shot, becomes a very valuable player in the NBA. He's already looking like he's going to be a very nice rotation player nonetheless, particularly after a tough start to his rookie season. But if he's able to get that corner 3 down, and as long as the NBA doesn't change what that corner 3 is at some point in time, which could happen, Chris Murray, long career in the NBA. Also 12 points for Jabari Walker and 12 points for Delano Banton, to also go with 6 assists and 3 rebounds for Delano Banton in 28 minutes. By the time you listen to this, the Blazers and the Clippers will probably play it already on Friday night. Sounds like DeAndre Ayton might sit that game out, which one would assume would hurt Portland's chances considerably. But at this point in time, it's not really about wins and losses for the Blazers. It hasn't actually been about wins and losses for the Blazers for a while, and it definitely isn't about wins and losses for the Blazers at this point, with so few games to go and 3 weeks left in the 2023-24 regular season. And once again, the Blazers will host the Denver Nuggets on Saturday in the final game of a homestand and the second half of back-to-back before hitting the road for 7 straight games on the road, starting with the Houston Rockets Monday night. Since the Blazers have been officially eliminated from postseason contention, we might as well turn our attention to draft lottery positioning. The Raptors and the Grizzlies are tied for 25th with 23 wins, and it's hard for me to see the Blazers, with 19 wins, getting 4 additional wins this season, so it seems safe to assume the Blazers will end up no better than 26th, their current position, with roughly 3 weeks left to play. Just below the Blazers are the Hornets in 27th with 17 wins, and they've lost 11 of their last 14, though one of those wins was versus the Trailblazers and by 13 points. The Hornets do have a difficult remaining schedule. They face the Celtics twice and the Cavaliers 3 times, but it seems possible, maybe even probable, that they surpass the Blazers in wins. It's worth noting that the Blazers and Hornets face off for the second time this season on April 3rd, so the loser of that game could very well have the inside track on the 4th best lottery odds. Now I say that knowing that the only games on the Hornets schedule that look especially quote-unquote winnable are the 2 games they play versus the Hawks, otherwise a lot of playoff teams in there, but still seems very possible that they will end up leapfrogging the Blazers in wins, though probably not by much, and also very possible they end up tied. And then there's San Antonio in 27th with 15 wins. On one hand, the Spurs winning 4 of their last 13 games seems like a reach, but when you look at their schedule, they have the Grizzlies twice, the Jazz once, and finish the season by hosting the Pistons in San Antonio. They've won 4 of their last 10, and you assume that Wembanyama is going to continue playing in order to cement his chances of winning Rookie of the Year, and perhaps one of the all-defensive team spots. So when you take all that into account, the chance the Blazers get to 27th, which comes with the best lottery odds possible, seems much more reasonable. Probably not likely, but at least certainly feasible. Also, as is the case with the Hornets, a very good chance that the Blazers and the Spurs end up tied at the end of regular season. And I should mention that ties, when it comes to the draft lottery, are broken by coin flip, not by the standard head-to-head. As in, you don't get punished in terms of your lottery odds if you won the season series against a team you're tied with in terms of those lottery odds, which actually makes sense. And really, if you wanted to think about it, one of the ways that they could maybe stop some of the tanking, though it'd be really small amounts of tanking, if you did apply the regular tiebreakers, but you gave the team that won the tiebreaker the decision of where they wanted to be in the draft lottery. And you would assume that everyone would want to have higher odds in the draft lottery, but they should allow the teams to decide that. So what I'm saying is that in this case with the Spurs, Spurs won the season series versus the Blazers 2-1. If the Blazers and the Spurs finish the season with the same record, they will have a coin flip to decide which of those two teams is going to get more of the lottery balls at the draft lottery. But what I'm saying is that the team that wins the season series should get the more lottery balls, because even though you're punished for winning games in terms of the draft lottery, you shouldn't be punished for winning games in terms of your draft lottery tiebreakers. Winning should matter in that regard, and so they should apply the average tiebreakers, not necessarily just going off a coin flip. Now, I realize that also gets a little more difficult too, because you have teams from both conferences, you only play each other once, they can still figure it out. And to put a bow on it, the Blazers have no chance of catching the Pistons nor the Wizards, though that doesn't actually matter, seeing as how the three teams with the worst record have the same lottery odds, 14% of getting the top overall pick, after the league changed the rules a few years back to try to thwart some of the most egregious tank jobs. So the three teams with the three worst records have a 14% chance of getting the top overall pick. The team with the fourth worst record has a 12.5% chance. The team with the fifth worst record has a 10.5% chance. So it seems very likely that at worst, the Blazers will have a 10.5% chance of getting the top pick in the 2024 lottery. And a reminder that the Blazers also get the Warriors' first round pick this season, as long as it doesn't end up in the top four, which seems very unlikely at this point. As of right now, the odds are that that pick would be around the 13th pick, though they are within just a few games of the Pacers, the Heat, the 76ers, the Lakers, the Rockets, and the Bulls. So where the Warriors end up and what pick the Trailblazers get from the Warriors could look a whole lot different once the season is over in roughly 3 weeks. And while the Trailblazers have been eliminated from postseason contention, the Rip City Remix and their inaugural season in the G League are still very much in the mix for the postseason. The Remix are currently in fourth place, have four games left to play, two games versus the Austin Spurs this weekend in Austin, and then they wrap up their regular season at University of Portland by hosting the Santa Cruz Warriors on Friday and Saturday, March 29th and 30th. That's your last chance to go check out the Rip City Remix in person in the regular season up here on the peninsula. If they're able to stay in the top six, which they're going to have to win some of those games likely to do, they have teams right behind them in the standings. The Rip City Remix currently have 18 wins, as do the Santa Cruz Warriors, though the Rio Grande Valley Vipers and the Oklahoma City Blue are right behind the Rip City Remix with 17 wins, and then you have the Austin Spurs with 16 wins, making those two games in Austin this weekend very important for the Remix's playoff chances. And if the Remix do qualify for the postseason, I did get confirmation from our great folks at the Remix that the way I explained the G League playoffs the last time was actually the way it works. So basically, it's the top six teams, single elimination, until you get to the finals. The Western Conference winner and the Eastern Conference winner play each other in a best of three final to decide which team wins the G League championship. So your Rip City Remix, still very much in the mix. Stockton Kings are first place in the Western Conference with 21 wins, so the Remix not far behind and still a chance to potentially even move up in the Western Conference standings with four games left to play. Once again, if you haven't got a chance to check out the Remix at University of Portland, I highly suggest you do. And you might even get to see a Remix playoff game if the Remix are able to get into the top three. I would assume that the way that the playoffs work in the G League is the top three teams get home court advantage versus the bottom three teams. Still making an assumption there, but I don't even know what other way would make sense. So check them out. Rip City Remix. Only 2 weeks left in the season. Playoff eligible. Hope they can get there. Last two games of the season, March 29th and 30th, at home. Go check them out. Now, let's go ahead and hear from Tumani Kamara, who is finishing up his rookie season after being selected with a second-round pick out of Dayton by the Phoenix Suns. Blazers acquired Tumani Kamara in the trade that brought DeAndre Ayton to Portland for a number of players, including Yusuf Nurkic. How you doing, Nurk? And Kamara quickly cemented himself as one of the mainstays of Portland rotation in his rookie season, primarily because of his defensive prowess. We checked in with Tumani earlier in the season, so wanted to circle back with him now that his rookie season is just about over to hear about the things that he feels like he's done well this season, the areas in which he feels like he still needs to make improvements, heading to Florida to play two games where he played as a high schooler after coming to the United States from Belgium, his physical style of defense and the way that gets under some opponent's skin, his Dayton Flyers, who advanced to the second round of the NCAA tournament to face DeAndre Ayton's Wildcats, by the way, and some of the things he would like to get accomplished in the last 3 weeks of the season. Always a nice time talking to Tu. Hope you enjoy it. Take it away, Tumani. Here with Tumani Kamara. So Tumani, we talked to you earlier in your rookie season. You're about a month away from the end of your rookie season. How would you say that it's gone for you in your first year here in Portland?
It's going great. I mean, a lot of learning. Yeah. New experience, new environment, so just trying to get adjusted to it. Learning each other. It's been a process, man. It's been a pretty tough season, a lot of ups and downs, and just keep moving, man. It's a game of basketball, so just try to stay away as much as I can.
Where do you feel like you've maybe made the most progress this season?
I think just the game is slowing down a lot for me. I just being able to see things better, understand the game of basketball way better. And then just, I think, get conditioned to this lifestyle, I think, is probably the biggest thing for me.
And in terms of maybe an area you'd like to continue to improve or you feel like you have maybe the most room for growth, what would that be?
I think just keep working on my offensive game. I feel like I have a lot of skills on that end, and just keep working on that and keep on improving them. And I know the rest is going to come. Think of my defense. I think overall, I mean, this summer I feel like I'm going to work on every part of my game, trying to better everything, and try to not have any weakness in a certain way.
I mean, you talk about offense. It seems like you've already made some real strides in the last couple months, even from where you were at. It seems like you're much more comfortable putting the ball on the floor. Your percentages have gone up considerably, both from the field and from three. So what do you feel like has maybe been working for you more on the offensive end in the last month and a half?
I mean, I feel like what I'm doing is thing that I always was able to do. I think it's just a confidence thing.
So, yeah.
I think it's the NBA, man. I'm a rookie. I'm from Belgium. I'm not used to this environment. I got the jitters. I'm excited. I got the nerves. So just being able to understand my situation, calm down, and realize what's in front of me. I think it's just like I said, just the game slowing down for me, getting more comfortable. I work every day on my game also, so of course it's going to improve. Just keep going with my routine.
That's interesting too, because, I mean, you're playing a lot of minutes. You're back in the starting lineup again. But so you still feel like sometimes like you get a little jittery or a little nervous or just a little those butterflies, I guess, a little bit still.
I wouldn't say I still get nervous. I'm just saying I'm still trying to figure this game out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a new environment, and it's going to take a long time for me, especially that I feel like that's just how I've always been in my life. I've been able to adjust and adapt to a situation pretty easily, but it always takes me time. So just try to stay with it, stick to it, and stay true to myself.
Your three-point shot, as I mentioned, has improved, I feel like, considerably, or at least you're hitting it with more frequency. Do you feel like you're getting better looks? Are you taking better shots? Have you worked on your form? Kind of what do you feel like has maybe been the difference for you in terms of that three-point shooting lately?
I think it's all about reps and confidence, just being able to go to the gym and keep working on my shots on a constant basis, really. I think it's all about, like I said, the game slowing down. I feel like I've always been able to shoot the ball to a certain level. And then just being able to knock them down and know where my shots is coming from and what the coach wants from me and stuff like that. I think it's just an understanding that's getting more understandable going through the season. So.
You're a rather physical defender. How has that worked for you so far in the NBA? Because I know sometimes they let you play, sometimes not so much. How has really being kind of a stout guy who tries to provide a lot of ability to stop guys, how has that worked for you so far this season?
I think it's been going well. I thought I was going to pick up more fouls that I have, so
sure,
I'm actually pretty happy about that. And it's just being able to understand all the small tricks and details that's going on with this league, because everybody, all the veterans in this league are a genius at the game of basketball. So they study everything. They know who they're playing against at night. So just being able to understand every tricks and who you're playing against and stuff like that, and when to be physical, when to not be physical, when to adjust, really. Yeah. I think that's the most important.
You know, you've also been a guy, too, who I think kind of the way that you play, the physical nature of the way you play, and the fact that you're a rookie, it seems like some guys from time to time get a little bent out of shape by it. How do you go about dealing with that and keeping your cool while also knowing that, like, you don't want to change the way that you're playing?
All I do is give an effort.
Yeah.
People get frustrated when I give effort, and, you know, this doesn't have anything to do with me. I'm going to try to do my best to impact the game, help my team win, make winning plays and stuff like that. So if people get frustrated, it's on them. You know, it ain't got nothing to do with me. I feel like it's going to become a thing. People are going to start knowing, like, when they're playing against me, that's what you're going to get. So if they want to get frustrated, they get frustrated. You know, it's just part of the game.
Absolutely. Team going on a road trip here, going back to Florida. You mentioned being from Belgium, but you played your high school ball in Florida. I imagine maybe you're looking forward to playing in front of some of the people that you got to know throughout your college or high school time.
For sure, for sure. I grew up a Miami Heat fan. I grew up being a Dwayne Wade fan. I grew up I mean, like you said, going in Florida, going to school over there, played on the Miami Heat arena, stuff like that. So being able to circle back on that and play in front of all the people that was dreaming about this with me, I think it's gonna be a great day for sure.
I imagine that's got to be pretty gratifying for you to be able to go back and show people, like, hey, you know, like the help that you guys gave me, like it really helped me become who I am now.
Yeah, like I said, it's people that have been dreaming about the same thing with me throughout this whole process. So just being able to say thank you, be able to show them that it was worth it, everything, all the sacrifice that they were able to make for me and this long journey that they've been with me on, I think it's crucial for me in my career.
It's also tourney time as well. Dayton, I believe, a 7 seed. What do you feel like their chances are here going into the tournament?
Like I told you earlier, I think the sky's the limit. You know, it's March. Anything can happen. I got a lot of faith in my guys. They have a good team. They had a great season, so I just hope they keep on going. And I know they have the chance to make a run for sure.
One more month, basically. I think 13 or 14 games left in the season. Obviously, the playoffs out of reach for this team, but I imagine there's still probably quite a few things you want to get accomplished or at least kind of build on going into this offseason.
I would say just keep on learning, man. Yeah. I think it's the same objective that I had going into the season. Just keep on learning, keep on getting better, keep on learning by my teammates, my coaches. Just keep on getting better, man. Just being able to play the game of basketball is always a blessing. So anytime I'm going to step on the court, I'm just trying to take advantage of most that I can and stick to who I am.
So there you go, Tumani Kamara talking about his rookie season and maybe what's next for him as he looks to build a career as one of the few players ever to come out of Belgium. I know we focused a lot on kind of what Scoot Henderson does in his rookie season, but I think when you look at the other rookies on this team, generally a lot has been accomplished. Maybe not as much for each individual guy as you would like, but for a team playing as many rookies as Portland has, you've seen quite a bit of improvement from those rookies. Scoot has gotten better since the beginning of the season. Same with Chris Murray, same with Tumani Kamara. Duop has looked great the entire time nonetheless. And Rayon Rupert has also made significant strides. Haven't got a chance to see him at the NBA level just enough to make any definitive statements about how much he's improved. But I think in general, he had 4 rookies on this team. Every single one of those guys seemed to take a step forward this season. Maybe not as much as you might like. Maybe not as far along in their career as you would like to see after a first year. But nonetheless, all made improvements. All got better, and all look like they have careers in the NBA, which is not something you can always say when you end up with 4 rookies on a team in one season. And that's going to do it for this edition of The Briefcase. Thank you so much for joining me, as always. Please like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. New editions of The Briefcase and The Blazers Balcony on the road next week. Blazers heading out for a 7-game, 15-day road trip. Podcasts, stories from the road, all along the Eastern Seaboard, starting in Houston, then the Florida teams, Atlanta, Charlotte, Boston, home for a few more home games, and then one more on the road in Sacramento to wrap up the season. Still plenty to get accomplished, still plenty to pay attention to, and listening to this podcast is one of the ways to do that. Thank you as always for listening. I'm Casey Holdall. We'll talk to you next week. Go Blazers.